Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Albin, you know this, but the audience doesn't know this.
What?
I got stuck in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is a great place to get stuck. I got a lot of work to do.
Isn't there a Disney theme park there?
No.
No?
No, and I'm flying straight to Charleston, South Carolina, where I'm going to be doing a number of events this week in Charleston, South Carolina. So instead of flying all the way home to New York, because there was snow yesterday, I said, we're going to ride it out here. And so I'm going to Charleston, South Carolina, and then I'm going to San Diego, and I'm preaching in a church in San Diego.
Wow.
On Saturday and Sunday of next week, of this next weekend. But I want to say that I spoke here at World Outreach Church, which is headed up by a dear friend, Pastor Alan Jackson. He's just an amazing brother in the faith, and he's had me speak at his church many times. So I spoke here, and it's unbelievable to see like 2,500 people not wearing masks.
Wow.
They have like no super spreading. Everything's been amazing down here. I mean, they are actually being quite careful, but still, it's just a huge church. And I gave the testimony of how I came to faith, kind of the story of my life, as I mentioned in my book, Fish Out of Water.
This book right here, Fish Out of Water.
You got that's the early version. You still need to get your real version.
The snow has just finished melting, and I'm waiting for the FedEx guy to show up with the book. By the way, Eric, you should just give up this writing and this entertaining stuff and just become a minister. Why not? Right?
Why not? Well, I have to say, before I forget, if you go to Amazon, you'll notice this is what happens, right? Because there are people out there who hate me for some reason, they go to Amazon and they post a 1-star review.
Yeah, I see.
They
I saw those.
Not read the book. And I'm amazed that Amazon even lets them do that. So if you folks, if you go to my Amazon page for the book, Fish Out of Water, first of all, if you're inclined to leave a review, please do. If you're inclined to leave a review, but also, if you read a really great review, mark it, you know, like when it says, was this helpful? Some of them are really helpful. But the ones that are unhelpful, that are 1-star reviews that basically say Eric's a jerk and we hate his guts or something like that, which has nothing to do with the book, these people should be reported, because it's got nothing to do with the book. This is about the book. And I'm just amazed that Amazon kind of lets that go. It's really, it's dramatically unhelpful. I want to say a couple things, Albin. People need to know that one of the ways we can share our views on things is with how we spend money. Some people know that the Bank of America was used politically. After the January 6th events at the Capitol, they gave up private information on their customers, on how their customers spent money and so on and so forth. Folks, that is not what we do in a free country. That is unbelievable that Bank of America did that. It is like when I talk about Kohl's and Bed Bath & Beyond and HEB stores and Wayfair. When corporate America does things like this, we have an obligation. We have a duty as Americans to let them know that we don't think that's okay. So if you have the ability to write an email to the Bank of America, if you know about this, you can look it up, what they did. If you have the ability to write a letter to them, if you want to call them, it's very important that we send a message to these very powerful, wealthy institutions that are making a lot of money from us, that this is not acceptable. I would further advise people, write a letter to them and tell them, this is why I will no longer do business with you. If I've been doing business with you, I will take my money out. If we don't use our voices, because I wrote this book on Bonhoeffer, and the Germans, they just let things happen. And over years, things can get very bad if you do not speak up when it begins to happen. So we're in the middle of this. Our rights as Americans are being abrogated. Our fundamental civil rights, our right to free speech, this is unacceptable, folks, and you have to send a message. So when Twitter cancels us, when YouTube cancels us, when they do these kinds of things, we have to, at the very least, register our disapproval. And when it's a corporation like Bank of America, a huge bank, if Americans don't say something about this, I mean, this is really despicable what Bank of America did. And I want everyone to know that my advice is write them a letter, send them an email, and tell them I'm going to be doing business anywhere else because what you did is not acceptable. And it's even ironic that they have a name like Bank of America and that they would behave this way. Big corporations need to understand that the people who allow them to exist, who do business with them, have a voice. And I want to say this because I think Americans often, we let stuff go. We don't let them know that what you did is not acceptable. And I just feel very strongly that if we don't do that, all these companies that are doing business with China without requiring that China have a modicum of human rights toward their citizens, all of this kind of stuff, if you don't use the power that you have and the freedom you have, that's why God gave you the freedom. That's why God gave you the power, the financial power, the power to speak. It is for his purposes. And so we have an obligation. I just want to say that very, very clearly. Alvin, do you have anything more fun to share than what I just said?
Well, I think a lot of people are thinking about the impeachment process that's coming up starting Tuesday. And I know we're going to have John Smirak on probably tomorrow.
Are we going to impeach Joe Biden? Because you can only impeach the president, right?
If you're exactly. You can only impeach the president. So which president are we talking about here?
So I guess they must still consider Trump the president if they want to impeach him. Well, I'm glad he's still the president. I really, his values are kind of square up with mine. I don't believe in killing the unborn, for example. So this week ahead, is the impeachment's going to be happening this week, the impeachment in quotes.
Yeah,
John Roberts has recused himself because he's hanging out on Epstein's Island. He's hiding out. And
Isn't that the sequel to Gilligan's Island?
Yeah, I wish it were that light of a subject. Yeah. I want to say that. I also want to say Mike Lindell, this is important. I didn't mention this because here we are Monday.
Yeah.
On Friday, Mike Lindell came out with a documentary called Absolute Proof, in which he talks about what happened in this election. I think it's really important that Americans know what happened in the election and know that there is dramatic evidence. Somebody should be dealing with the evidence. The evidence that Mike Lindell shows in this documentary, Absolute Proof, at least people ought to be aware of it. And people ought to ask their leaders to look at it and to see what they think. Can they answer some of what Mike Lindell says in the thing? Now, here's what happened. I thought, you know what? This is interesting. Americans should see this. So I sent it out via my email list. We use a Gmail server. An hour after we sent this out, and now many of you are on my email list, go to ericmetaxas.com and sign up for that. So we sent out the link to this free documentary called Absolute Proof. Well, within an hour, all of our Gmail accounts were shut down. I just want to say that really blew my mind. I thought we're at a point now where you sent out a link to something. If Google doesn't like it, they will shut down your email just to send you a message that they're the ones that control your email. So if you want to know why maybe it's not a good idea to be on Gmail, I've just given you a reason. I was truly stunned. Before I forget, it's Miracle Monday. Coming up today in both hours, Amanda Grace. This is a woman, she's very gifted by God. God speaks to her, but her personal story of pain, she has really suffered. It's an amazing, miraculous story with a happy ending. That's coming up. folks. Remember I told you that today I would be talking to Amanda Grace. Remember that? That was just a couple of minutes ago. Well, here she is. Amanda Grace, welcome to this program.
Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here and to meet you. This is wonderful.
We're going to have some fun here.
Yes.
I think this is fun. First of all, I've already explained, you know, how I got to know of you.
Yes.
But a lot of times on this program, we do a thing called Miracle Monday, where I talk to somebody and I want to get their story with God, their life story, how to, you know, because some people know of you because they watch you on YouTube. You have a prophetic voice. Now, some people don't understand what that is. Some people understand exactly what it is, and they're viciously hostile. So mm-hmm. I want to help people, like when I have my buddy Ken Fish on, to understand what this is and how it, when it's legitimate and when it's not legitimate and how to process this. But before all that, you were on a program recently. I forget the name of the guy, but you told your story. And I said, I have to introduce you to my audience with your story. So let me start from the beginning. Where did you grow up?
Oh, the Bronx, New York. That was Elijah Stream. You saw that on, I think.
Right.
Recently. So I was born in the Bronx, New York. If you cannot tell by the accent that I'm from, you know, the city. And so that's where I was raised part of my life. I went to a very spirit-filled church on Holland Avenue in the Bronx.
Now, even that already is funny to me, because when I think of the Bronx, mm-hmm. I don't think of spirit-filled church. I mean, I grew up in Queens, mm-hmm. and New York is very secular in many ways, but there are these pockets.
They are.
And you're telling me that you grew up in the Bronx going to, now are you Italian?
Yes, almost all. Some Hungarian slipped in there. Some people actually think I'm Jewish, too. There's Jewish roots somewhere.
I can tell you, well, we're culturally Jewish if you grew up in New York, right? But so you grew up in the Bronx, Italian background. Now, do you give out your surname? What was your name growing up, your surname?
Oh, you mean my maiden name?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to laugh because it sounds like something out of an Italian movie. It was Carbone.
Carbone. So, but you've always been Amanda.
Yes, and Grace is my middle name.
But it's funny because Amanda doesn't seem like a typical Italian, New York Italian name.
I think my mother named me after a very popular soap opera actress at the time whose name was Amanda. And so that's how that name came to be.
I love it. Okay, so Carbone. That sounds
Carbone.
A little bit.
Does that sound like a Bronx tale?
Yes,
seriously.
So you're a Brooklyn, you're a Bronx native.
Yes.
And you grew up in what we call the church, which was like a serious church, right? This was not just like cultural. This was real. Let me ask you this. How did your parents, being Bronx Italians, how did they come to faith?
Okay, I'll tell you. I grew up in a divided household. So this is interesting because my mother, when I was born, was a believer for about 5 years, I believe. And my father wanted nothing to do with God whatsoever. And so it was basically, you couldn't even talk about it in front of him for a very long time. My parents divorced when I was 21, and we'll get into that. But they basically, everything was internalized. So you're praying, your relationship with the Lord in the house is internalized. And so the enemy began to use that to sort of try to shut my mouth and be afraid to pray, because my father, who, that's your first image of God, really, is your father. Many people formulate their opinion of God based on their earthly father,
right?
Because that's the first example, in a way, you see of a father. So basically, it kind of muzzled me. Now, Italians don't stay muzzled forever, and we'll get into that. But it kind of muzzled me for a period of time. But this church on Holland Avenue is called Van Nest. I believe it's an Assemblies of God church. Now, it used to be Full Gospel. And when I tell you, many nations there, spirit-filled, people dancing around the aisles. I'm not even kidding you. Like, this is what I grew up in. And so I accepted the Lord at 6 years old. I accepted Jesus at 6 years old. So that's the kind of environment I grew up in. But I went to church with my mother, and my father was never there unless it was a holiday, and he fidgeted in the pews so bad. It's like he couldn't even take being there.
Now, what did he do for a living? What was your background?
Oh, you're going to laugh. My father was a supervisor for a very long time in the Jewish foods business. So I grew up in the Jewish culture because he worked for Kedem and Manischewitz, and he was a regional supervisor. So I knew the holidays. I always knew when Passover was approaching because my father would get grumpy because of all the planograms he would have to do for the stores to get it ready. So I always knew when Passover was approaching. So I grew up in that culture. I was exposed to Hasidic Jews. Actually, he worked for Intercounty Food Distributors. That was the first one. And David was a Hasidic Jew. So I was exposed to that culture.
David, who's David?
David owned Intercounty Foods, which was the first.
I've always on this program wanted an excuse to say, man, oh, man, oh, Manischewitz. Thank you very much. Now I got to say it. All right. So you grew up kind of, you know, working class, normal background, yes. Going to church. You said on the program, Elijah Stream, that you early on noticed that you had this gift. Now, I always want to be clear when I'm explaining to my audience, we need to know, we need to explain, the spiritual world is not all Jesus. There is a satanic reality. There's a dark spiritual world. So when people are talking about, I heard this, I heard that, the devil might be speaking to you, demons might be speaking to you, God might be speaking to you, an angel might be speaking. But many people in America are very naive. They think all spirituality is good. We know it's not. So if you have a voice or you have some communication, you don't know necessarily where it's coming from. You have to test it with the Bible or whatever. We'll go into that. But you're saying that when you were very young, that you would experience some things. Talk about that.
Okay. So I will tell you this. When you're a child and you're born, the enemy can see anointing on you in the realm of the spirit.
He can by the enemy, we're talking about Satan.
Satan.
If you're not tracking at home.
He doesn't know what the Lord's going to do with it necessarily, but he can see that you've been marked and set apart for a purpose by the Lord. So I was attacked with sickness very early on as a child at about 4 years old. I went through a very, very, very long bout. But at the age
of sickness,
horrific asthma. When I tell you, like, emergency room, getting shots of adrenaline constantly, being hospitalized in oxygen tents because I couldn't breathe, like, that bad. The enemy or Satan early on wants to get rid of you before you ever come into the call that the Lord has on your life. So at about the age of six, I started coming to my mother. And I said, do you know there are throne rooms in heaven? And this is what they look like. And I dreamt about them. And I would say these things to her. And I would see angels. Prophecy would shoot out of my mouth, because at that age, you don't know how to harness it. You don't know it's prophecy. And my mother literally went to the Lord going, I don't know what to do with this child, because I could figure things out. I was wise beyond my years. So I could figure things out that maybe 6 years old, you shouldn't be figuring out. So the Lord basically told her to hide it in her heart. And one day it would all make sense, because she dedicated me to the Lord as a child. And I tell parents, be very careful of that, because the Lord's going to come back one day and he's going to get your child and he's going to take your child and do now what they've been sent apart to do.
Well, so now you remember this, obviously. And how did this carry on into your teen years, that you would hear things or see things?
Yes, I started out seeing things and as a dreamer. So I would have very vivid dreams. I would have dreams about things going on in the world. And we'll get into that in my 20s, what happened, because I had a very serious dream that had to do with what I do now that happened. But in my teens as well, I remember going into the age of 13, because we were still living down. We had now moved to the border of New Rochelle in the Bronx by the time I was 13. And then we moved to the Hudson Valley when I was 15. So basically, during the night, this was something I specifically remember. I'm in my bed in our apartment, and something touches my eyelids and pushes them open. And there is an enormous figure standing in my doorway in a very white, flowing garment and standing there. Now, I got to tell you, I jumped a little bit. Now I don't blink. But I jumped at that boy because, you're still young and you're processing. And so I waited days to tell my mother, because if I screamed for my mother at that point, my father would have like thought I was out of my mind, and I knew that. So I had to be careful of that. So basically, that is something I specifically remember happening when I was a teen. I also, white doves too sometimes would just shoot by the window. I'd see like a white dove shoot by the window in the apartment. All white, wasn't a pigeon, because I know what a white pigeon looks like. It wasn't that, because pigeons are everywhere down there. We know that, you know what I mean? So, yes, but I remember those things as well.
Now, hang on a second, Gil. We're going to have to go to a break here, yep. But this is all, it's like funny. God, people don't realize how delightful and funny God can be.
Oh, amazing sense of humor.
Like the joy of God. All right, we're going to be right back. I'm talking to Amanda Carbone. We're just going to call her Amanda Grace. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go away.
Once there was a way to get back homeward.
Folks, it's Miracle Monday. I'm talking to Amanda Grace. Amanda, you said that you saw this figure. You were a teenager. You wake up, you see this figure in white. Okay, you know it's not somebody who walked into the room. This is some spiritual thing. What, do you know who the figure was? Do you know if it was an angel? Was it Jesus? Did the figure say anything?
No, figure didn't say anything. Now, here's the interesting part about this. The face was purposely shadowed, so I could not see the face. Now, my mother had a theory that that may have been the Lord himself standing there, because we're not allowed to see the face of the Lord till we go to be with the Lord many times. Moses, we're not quite sure what happened up on Mount Sinai with Moses when he was up there for 40 days with the Lord and what he saw and what he didn't see. But she had a theory that something of that nature happened when I described to her what I saw. And so basically that ended up sticking with me throughout the rest of my life when that happened, because I knew there was something different about me. You know, you just don't know what to do with it, you know? I'll tell you a very specific story. Now, my parents had a lot of marital issues. My father was as rebellious as can be. Now, praise God, when he passed away in late 2019, he accepted the Lord 3 weeks before he died. And I've been praying for that since I was six. So that's why I say, don't stop praying for your relatives and your loved ones, because the Lord hears it. And that prayer got answered before he died in 2019. So he was as rebellious as can be. And so basically, I remember at one point they were separated, and my mother did not look well through this. And so basically a huge rainbow appeared outside the window, and I stood there and I pointed at it. Now, I was nine now at the time. Okay. So I'm nine. And I said, that rainbow is a promise. I said, and the Lord is going to bring Dad home. And wow. She looked at me and her jaw dropped. I just pointed and it shot out of my mouth at nine, because you don't know how to harness it. It comes out at different points.
In other words, so what you're saying, for people who maybe aren't clear on this, you're saying that God gave you this information and you just blurted it out.
I blurted it out.
Right.
Yes. You know, and
so
he did.
Your mother was a little bit shocked.
She was very
now,
shocked.
Was the rainbow a natural rainbow, or was it just something that you saw? It was a real rainbow.
No, she saw it. It was a real, but it was vivid. It was very vivid.
Yeah.
And so that I remember happening as well. And he did for a period come home. But, you know, like I said, my father was very troubled. So he came home for a period, I remember. And then in my early 20s, when I was in college, they ended up divorcing.
Did you have siblings?
I have a younger brother.
Younger brother. Does he traffic in this stuff, or he's not into this?
He's a bit hostile towards the Lord. He's on his own journey. I say, you know what? The Lord's taking him out on a journey, and I'm going to let the Lord just go out with him. And then when my brother truly comes to the Lord, you know, and truly, you know, walks that walk, I think he's going to see a lot of changes happen in his life.
Well, let me ask you. So you said you went to college. What did you go to college to study? Where'd you go?
I went to Siena College near Loudonville, New York, which is near Albany. I have a bachelor's of science in finance.
In finance.
I was very good at numbers. Yes. My father was actually excellent with numbers. So I inherited that. So I was very good with numbers.
Okay. And so you go to college for that. And what happens at that point?
Okay. So interestingly enough, I was so sick until I went to college. Now, sometimes when you're in a certain environment, stress can make health issues worse. It can exacerbate it. So I go to college and all of my health issues clear up. They all clear up. And I was okay. And so I went for finance. And that was sort of like, because I was a bit sheltered, you know, because even though my father was rebellious, Italian fathers tend to be very sheltering to their daughters. You know, nobody can even look at you the wrong way because they want to, you know, Italians want to shoot off at the mouth. You know what I mean? They're like firecrackers, except the Lord harnessed that for his glory when it comes to me. So basically what happens is I ended up going to college up there and working at Hannaford in customer service. So that's what I did. I still have a friend up there. Her name is Carrie, who I did customer service with. And I, in your 20s, this is what I say. In your 20s, you flounder with the Lord a bit as you get your footing and understand who he is. Because really, in your 20s is when you begin to grapple with who the Lord is and why you need him in your life. And so I was always a believer, and it was funny because all of my friends in college, because at Siena College, you know, it's like a quote, Catholic tradition college. And I'm not Catholic, but I went there because they had an excellent business program. But they require that you take biblical studies there. So my friends had to take it, you know, who I was in the townhouse with by senior year. And every time they had to do a report, say on Moses, Abraham, Isaac, they come running to me and say, Amanda, I need to know everything about Moses in about 20 minutes. And I'd sit down with them and I'd tell them. So this would go on constantly, which was kind of funny. But by the age of 20, was the end of my junior year, is when my parents divorced. That's when that happened. So that's when we get into that, is in my 20s.
And I know you had health issues, serious, very serious yes. health issues, which I hadn't known until I heard about it the other day, and about the a tragic thing with you, with your husband, Chris. I mean, I want to get into that when we come yes. back. We're going to mm-hmm. hear the rest of your story. Amazing stuff, folks. Don't go away. Folks, I'm talking to Amanda Grace. Amanda, if people want to find you, where do they go online?
Okay, well, we're going to have our website up by the end of the week. It's so funny. I've gone 3 years with no website, which I think is kind of comical, but we're going to have a website up. But if you go to YouTube and you look up Ark of Grace Ministries, you can find us there. We're on Facebook as Ark of Grace Ministries. We're also on Rumble as Ark of Grace Ministries okay. and right. Telegram as well.
Wow.
I know.
Right. So let's go back. So you are, you're in college, your parents separate. What happens with you at that point? When do the health problems flare up, and when does God begin to use you prophetically and all this kind of stuff? Let's go into that.
Okay. So what happens is the divorce happens in my 20s, which is like being put in the middle of a ping pong match, no matter what age you are, especially when you're in your early 20s and you're still forming, you know, your ideas of the Lord, and the Lord's taking you now out on a journey. So what happens is I graduate in 2001. I graduate and I end up having to come home because of the divorce. And there was a firm named Globop. Now, this is a funny story. They were a hedge fund firm. So I interviewed with them at the age of 21, and they give everybody a financial IQ test before they hire them. And apparently this was a very difficult test because the highest score was a 40 out of 100. And I scored an 80 on it. And they hired me on the spot. This was 20 years ago. They hired me at 42.5 on the spot because of that score.
This is a comedy. This is like better than the nanny, because like with your Bronx accent, the idea yep. that, you know, you're getting an 80 on this financial test. Okay, so they hire you on the spot. They've got a financial wizard in the making. And what happens now?
So there's a call on my life, right? So you can't run from the call. Sometimes you begin to realize the call is there as you go on.
You mean a call from God?
Yes, a call from God. There's a call on your life. You're anointed for a purpose. You know, many of us, the prophetic, we're born into this. God decides this long before we're born, that this is what we are created to do. So I end up being there 9 months at Globop. But because of all the stress that was going on, I end up, the enemy sees an opportunity, Satan sees an opportunity. Sometimes through doors of things going on in our family, he can try to seize an opportunity. And at the age of 21, because I have to tell you, I was very active. I was on a men's volleyball league. That's how athletic I was. There was only very few women allowed. I was one of them. And I have to tell you, I feel so bad because they would get embarrassed when you would spike on them and they would just fumble the ball. They would get completely embarrassed. So I was very active and athletic. And so at the age of 21, I start to feel very sick, flu-ish. And within 7 days, now I'm living with my mother at the time, I drop to the floor. I collapse and I'm rushed to the hospital. They don't know what's wrong with me. They're doing Lyme tests. They're doing all sorts of titers. They can't figure it out because this was something a little before its time. You know, sometimes the enemy will try to hit you with something a little before its time. And this was basically something called, there were two things going on. There was POTS syndrome and there was small fiber neuropathy going on, which is like a neuromuscular autoimmune disorder, except they were just starting to find out in 2001 about neuropathies. So basically, it takes a year and a half. I'm like losing weight. I'm in pain all the time. I have no energy. And this is kind of funny what the Lord does in the middle of this, because when you look back, you realize the Lord was training you even through the processing and the testing and the trial, because you go through a lot of testing and trial before the Lord ever raises you up into the prophetic, because you have to understand the weight of the responsibility of that. So I'm going through this trial and testing and this processing. And in the middle of it, you're going to laugh because I've loved animals my whole life. This is why we have an animal sanctuary. And we'll get into that, how the Lord utilized this to train me. I start in my mother's complex, the townhouse complex, taking care of all the stray cats in the complex. I start, while I'm sick, because I can't do much else, I start making the garage into like a little shelter and feeding them. And you're going to laugh. Some of these cats would bring their sick kittens to me and drop them on the doorstep like it was a hospital. And they'd leave. And then they'd come back every day and I'd bring the kitten down to see the cat. So I took care of all these cats and found homes for them. I domesticate the feral ones.
But just so I understand, so you're in your early 20s, you get this amazing job, you're stricken with this illness, and now you're too sick to work. So you're home with your mother, effectively convalescing. Or did you even know, are you getting better or are you just dealing with being sick?
No, I knew I wasn't getting better. I knew there was something seriously wrong that was happening, like a progression, because I was losing a lot of weight. There were other things going on. And we went to doctor after doctor. We finally find at Columbia Presbyterian, a doctor by the name of David Adams. He's got two biblical names, this doctor, and he's a neurologist. So he actually hospitalized me because my blood pressure was like 70 over 40 when we went to him. So he hospitalizes me in Columbia Presbyterian immediately. And he does something called a tilt table test, which basically what happens in a tilt table test, your heart, when they move the table up, your heart rate will jump up a lot. Tachycardia, which is part, POTS syndrome stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, meaning when you stand up, your heart rate shoots up and your blood pressure plummets. And so they did this tilt table test and he says to me, you're fighting POTS syndrome. Now, you outgrow POTS syndrome, which is a good thing, but he goes, there's something else there. He could see it on the blood work. He didn't know quite what it is because it was the small fiber neuropathy.
Now, by the way, that bird, is that in my room or in your room?
Oh, that's in the back. Yep, the aviary. Yep, we've got Grace the Dove, who came to us 4 years ago, just flew into our hydrangea tree in the front of the house. And we took her. I'm telling you, the Lord just sends animals here. They just show up. They just know. It's like he's pointing at our property and they just show up. And so we've got Chet the Cockatiel in there. He was surrendered because his owner moved across the country. And we've also got a little button quail in there. So
you got three birds behind you.
Yes, in a big aviary.
I've got no birds behind me. I feel a little bit inadequate, but it's all right. I'll pray about that. Okay, so you're telling me you have serious, really serious illness. This is for years I had serious chronic fatigue and depression, and I went to a million doctors. I had Lyme disease. I've been through some of this stuff, not on the level you are describing, but you know, to be in your 20s and to be totally sick and debilitated, it's not normal. We'll be right back. I'm talking to Amanda. Grace is here from Taxes Show. You can go your own way. Folks, I'm talking to Amanda Grace. Ain't she a hoot? She just totally cracks me up. Suzanne and I have watched her, and she's very funny. She's very New York, and she's got a story. She hasn't even gotten to the amazing part. There are miracles that she's experienced, healing miracles, dramatic, miraculous, absolutely miraculous events. And we're going to get to that in hour two today with Amanda Grace, but she's just amazing. She's the real deal. Very humble woman who's really suffered. You've heard some of that. Albin, we've got to talk about the cardboard cutout behind you.
Yes, we do.
That's Mike Lindell.
There he is right there.
I'm telling people, go to michaeljlindell.com. Watch that documentary. See what you think. And if you think there's anything there, share it, folks, because we're in a real battle, an information battle in America. People are trying to shut us down if they don't like what we're saying. If we're suggesting that maybe something was not up on the up and up with the election, their attitude is like, oh, you can't say that. Hey, it's the United States of America. I can say that. And I certainly will say that because things did look fishy to me. And until I can see what really happened, I'm certainly not going to be quiet about it. And neither should you. Yeah. But we do want to say, speaking of Mike Lindell, he's the main sponsor of this program. You can buy most of my books from mystore.com. Use the code Eric, mystore.com. That's related to mypillow.com. Obviously, if you go to mypillow.com, use the code Eric. Mike has been heroic. He's really taken a beating in the media. People are very nasty if they don't like what you're saying. And I want to say, Albin, what we've been saying is that in America, we do have a right to free speech. We have a right to say things, even if you think they're dumb or they're wrong. People have a right to express themselves. And the idea that now the Democrats and the left, we're seeing their true colors because they're being very vicious. They are demonizing their opponents. If you're demonizing your opponents, that's a big red flag to me that you don't have an argument. You're afraid of your opponents. You're afraid that they will win on the argument. And therefore, you don't want to hear the argument. You don't want to hear what they have to say. So you'll do anything you can to shut them down. That does not have a good precedent. That's what they did in Germany. That's what they do in fascist or communist states. We ought never to do that here. And folks, if you do not speak up and speak loudly against this, you become part of the problem. Do not let people silence you ever. You have every right. And if you're a person of faith, God commands you to speak the truth.
Can I also suggest, too, if you want to support the show in a fun way, you can get a hat, you can get a T-shirt, you can get a mug. You go to shopmetaxas.com, or it's back on our website. I notice it right at the bottom. There's a banner that says shopmetaxas.com. You can buy some autographed copies of Eric's books there, but you can and Hamster Homes, by the way, as well. But get a hat, get a T-shirt, and support the show that way. Buy them as gifts.
Well, they're very, very inexpensive. Our website, you mean MetaxasTalk.com.
That's right. The radio website, very inexpensive, by the way. These are really low prices for the hats.
They have to raise the prices. They haven't raised the prices. I'm not sure what they're thinking. We're obviously not making any money. But the good news is you can get hats, T-shirts, mugs, very low prices. MetaxasTalk.com is the radio website. and you'll see the link there. Also, I want to remind folks again, we really hope you'll sign up for my newsletter at ericmetaxas.com, because oftentimes, as we've been seeing lately, it's impossible for us to communicate because of the strange cancel culture in which we live. If you get our email from ericmetaxas.com, the newsletter there, we can share all kinds of stuff with you. I've been sharing a lot of excerpts from my book. Those are being posted. We've got some great reviews that have been coming out. I have to say, I'm really gratified. Okay, we're out of time. In hour two, I continue my conversation with Amanda Grace. I hope you enjoy it half as much as I do, because she's something.